morning. I'm so happy to see all y'all smiling faces this morning. And I hope y'all have come expecting something great, because something great will happen. And if you all please stand and rise and for this time to usher in some worship and praise. And just have a good day.
Sing it out. bow down, every tongue has to cry out. Oh, there is none like our God. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Taking this moment. He is here and he is wanting to move and he is waiting to move. Just like in 1 Kings, when Ben-Hadad and the Syrians doubted our God and said, we know why we lost, because we fought them on the mountains and they're the God of the mountains, but when we fight them in the valleys, we will win. But our God is not only the God of the mountains, but he is the God of the valleys.
Hallelujah.
Everything, every high and low, he takes every high place and he brings it down. Every low place, he brings it high. When you bring your worst, he'll bring your best. And when he bring your better, he will bring. Thank you, God. So, with every need and every want, he is there. And he is moving. And he is wanting to move in your life. And he is waiting for you to ask him. So we come to him with prayer. And anything that you have on your heart, and any of the names, not on the projector right now, but any prayer requests, we have Cindy Pinson, Asher Neal, Lori Bolt, Matt and Amber Thomas, Charity Emery, Colby Hicks, Sadie Sinyama, Steve Gordon, Sister Milgen Pratt, Brother Billy Trinado, and any need that you have on your heart, every person that is not here but that you can step forward for, please do so. And then the ministers will anoint you with oil. So we go to him. Father, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you, God, for these four walls. Lord, let your spirit move and let it dwell in your holy name.
Precious, how beautiful.
Wednesday night, our six-week series is going to be continuing, and it's titled Greatness is God's Gift to You. You do not want to miss that. It's been a special time. Today we have another pastoral candidate, the Welch family. We're excited to have you guys this morning and tonight. Yes. And then next week we will have another one, Brother Sparks, and the following week another one, Brother Lucas. The 23rd, our monthly mission pledge is due. The 25th is a church business meeting. That will be on a Tuesday night, so be sure and mark your calendars. And then we have a prayer and fasting train, and I know that was Sister Nicole Chandler's kind of burden to do that. So why don't you give a hand of applause to her, just because it shows that she's one of many that are sensitive and want to just be in God's will. That's so incredible. So if you want to be a part of that, praying and fasting, maybe you don't want to put your name down, that's fine. But if you would like to, there's a sheet out there. You can pick a specific day of the week to pray and fast for all that are involved with the transition. And then our church, Ladies Joy Conference, April 3rd and the 4th. Online registration is open. You do not want to miss this. It's an incredible time. I was kind of skeptical of ladies' conference when I was younger, and then I went for the first time, and I was hooked. So if you want to take it from a young girl, I'm just giving you my opinion that it is a great time, worth the time, worth the investment. At this time, we will take our offering. So good to see each and every one of you excited about what God is doing and is going to continue to do. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth, God. I pray that you would just bless each and every individual here and those that are unable to make it, God. We thank you for the opportunity to give of our tithes and give of our praise, God. We know that you are worthy of every bit of it, God. So we pray that you would continue to move in this service, God. Keep your hand on the Welch family as they minister to us. And I pray that you would just continue to move without any restraint, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Forever, sing if you can, forget about. be seated. How many of you got up this morning and you thought, oh no, it's Sunday and I have to go to church today? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing and a terrible way to live? I do get up on Monday sometimes and say, oh no, I have to go to work. And yet I'm blessed to do what I do. I sat with an elderly man who has cancer, and I come in many times, and he's sitting at the table with his Bible, reading and praying. And through the day, we have devotion, and we talk about the goodness of God and the miracles and what he's doing and what he can do. And so I've got a blessed job. I know some of you face other things. But I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I love to go to church. When I first got the Holy Ghost, man, I wanted to be the first one there. And when I'd have to work on Sunday, I'd get bent out of shape. And I remember working at Safeway those early years, and I'd have to leave work, and I'd hear the big bell downtown ring, the church bell, and I'd keep thinking, everybody's going to church, and I'm having to work. But when Sunday night came, I'd take off my apron, and I'd head for the church, and I'd drive up on that church parking lot. And honestly, this is the truth. Of course, you know a lot of it had to do just because we like to worship loudly. But I'd get out of that car and you could literally feel the vibration of the worship and the singing and the drums and the guitars and the organ. And we had a piped organ. And man, I want to tell you, I'd get to the door and grab that door and you could just literally feel the vibration. But not only that, I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'd walk through that door and I'd just almost want to begin to dance and shout. I hope that it's that way still for you today. I've been living this a long time now. I was trying to think the other day, I've been in the ministry 51 years now of some kind. I started out at 17, really started at the age that Daddy would take me to the church, and I'd follow in his footsteps, sweep in and clean. I was a janitor first before I was ever a pastor. And I'd help him mow the lawns, and that's the way I began to become a Christian and follow God. But it's still just exciting today as it was when I first started out. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Aren't you glad to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there a need here this morning? You know there is. Someone have a need. Your need can be met before this service is over. How many of you believe that this morning? How many of you really came expecting something to happen? Amen? You really came expecting God to do something in somebody's life. How about you? Is it all right to be just a little bit selfish this morning and say, Lord, I need a touch too? I think that would be fitting. If you have a need today, please don't leave this house until you have made your way down to a Holy Ghost-filled altar and let God touch you and bless your life. The pastoral team would like to welcome and introduce to you Brother John and Sister Miranda Welch as applicants for the pastoral opening. They have three sons, Lincoln, 22, Tyler, 18, and Brentley, age 11. Brother Welch studied theology through Christian Life College, UPCI, in Stockton, California, and business at Northwest State University of Louisiana. Sister Welch holds a master's degree in education, and after college, she served as a public school teacher and then as an instructor for early childhood development and programs at the Fort Polk, Louisiana. Brother Welch is an ordained minister of the UPCI and has been evangelizing for over 14 years, including extended revivals and international evangelistic work, regularly preaching revivals, funerals, and weddings for the local congregation. He has served as youth pastor for 7 years while assisting Pastor M.C. Green of the Leesville, Louisiana UPCI in all aspects of the church ministry. And as sectional youth director, he served 2 elected terms in the Louisiana district. The team is doing everything they can to bring to you the best candidates for pastor of the Parish UPC, because we love our church, don't we? And we are so honored today to have this man and this woman and the accomplishments that they have done. But having sat with them several hours now on video and also in person, the greatest qualification that I see is I see Jesus, I see the Holy Ghost, I see love for God and love for people, and that's the greatest expectation I can have for a pastor and his wife and their family. Would you please stand this morning? And I thought another qualification might would be to try and be able to walk up these stairs. Sister, if y'all would like to come, if you'd like to come. Brother, if you're just coming, whoever, if you can accomplish those stairs, go ahead. I don't attempt them anymore. But would you give them a hand clap of worship and praise, a warm welcome to his family this morning. Amen. Brother Welch is going to take his liberty, and he's going to conduct the remainder of this service as he would do if he was at home, and he is home. Is that right? Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Dickey. What a great introduction. Thank you for welcoming us so kindly. And the great spirit that you introduced us, thank you. I appreciate that. God bless all of you. Why don't you be seated for a moment and smile at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you came to church today. And I echo those sentiments. I'd rather be in the house of the Lord than anywhere else. And so we're thankful to be here. And, you know, I've been to the other parish. And they told me how great it was going to be over there. But, you know, I told my wife this morning, I think I like this parish a lot better. They're not too friendly over there. I remember on the sidewalk, you know, seeing those chairs and tables, and I thought, well, let's just sit down here and rest a while. If you're not a paying customer at those chairs and tables, the waiter's going to come up beside you and shake the chair beside you and make a lot of unfriendly gestures because they want you out of there. And so all of you have welcomed us with a smile and kindness, and I appreciate that so much. So I already like this parish a lot better than the other one. And so we're happy to be here. And before I minister, I'm going to come back down these steps and allow my precious wife to say hello to you. And
good morning. It is so great to be in God's house with God's people, worshiping the one true living God. And I echo the sentiments of my husband. The warm, friendly welcome that we have received this morning is priceless, first class, much better than Paris, and you speak English. Hallelujah. Brother English, does it get any better than that? But it is truly a joy to live for the Lord, and it is such a joy to live for the Lord with fellow believers of like precious faith who love Him, who love one another, and we're just getting the party started before we get to heaven. You know, that's what it's all about, and we felt the party this morning. Awesome. That music ministered to my soul. Bless you all. Have a blessed Sunday, and we just hope that you get blessed this morning. Whatever need you have, just as Brother Dickey said, you're in the right place at the right time to receive all the right things from our Heavenly Father, Jesus, that name that's above every name. Bless you all.
You're doing perfect. I appreciate you sticking. That makes me feel like I'm not alone up here. Thank you. But I've got my three boys, Lincoln, Tyler, and Bentley, with me today. I want Tyler to run up here and just say a word for the Lord before I begin.
Praise the Lord, church. Well, we are so excited to be in Paris. Thank you. I know my dad has said it, my mom, and I must say it too. Thank you for your kindness, all of you welcoming us and greeting us. We appreciate that. It means so much to just to come in and worship somewhere where you're unfamiliar and you have a spirit of home. You know, it just feels homely, and I can't echo how incredible that is. Thank you for that. It means so much. We're so excited to be here. Thank you for letting us worship with you, and we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do today.
We'll do our best to minister the word of the Lord. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. And thank you, Brother Micah. You've got our scriptures, and you're on it. I know he's the capable media technician, and I appreciate that so much. Matthew 14. You know, that's the most underappreciated job in the world, because you're behind the scenes. The only time we mention it is when it's too loud or too quiet. So thank you for what you're doing. That's it. Praise God. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 30. If you'd like to stand just for two scriptures, if it's your custom to stand, Matthew 14, verses 30 and 31. If you have that, say amen. Matthew 14, verse 30 and 31. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Father, bless your people. Allow us a day in the house of the Lord where deliverance happens, hope comes, encouragement comes. Lord, let salvation come to someone today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say amen. Well, God bless you. Please be seated. Now, this is my first time here, and we're thrilled to be here, and we honor all of you. Thank you for your kindness and love. We give special honor, recognition to Brother and Sister Meyer and their entire family. Thank God for their ministry and their legacy and all that they have done to minister to this congregation for so many decades, and only eternity knows the reward for such labors. And to all of you that love God, thank you for seeking God for his direction during this time. And we're impressed that all of you are joining together in prayer and fasting and seeking the will of the Lord. And my encouragement to you is that God will see you through, and he will give you direction and guidance. After all, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God will give that to him. And so even when we don't have all the answers, we keep serving him, praying every day, and he leads us each step of the way. All of us are actually on that journey in our own way. And so we know God's going to sustain you during this time of transition. Matthew 14 is a powerful text, and I would like to preach from Matthew 14 from the subject, Christ our Savior. I'd like to preach the gospel to you today, because after all, that's the foundation of who we are and what we are. And Matthew 14 is a beautiful text that talked about Christ rescuing a man by the name of Peter who was sinking. You remember how the Bible said that Jesus came walking to the disciples in the midst of a storm, and they were in that small boat, and Peter said, after he discovered it was the Lord, Lord, if that's you, allow me to come out and walk on the water to you. And Jesus said, well, come on. And you know that if Jesus gives his commission, it's possible. Anything is possible when the Lord speaks it. Peter walked on the water. This is a historical account in itself, a powerful moment in history. Somebody walked on water, defying the laws of gravity. Of course, Jesus was doing it, but when Peter did it, that was something altogether different. And for those few moments before he began to sink, you have to think, well, Peter was a great man of faith to step out of the boat and walk on the water. Of course, we quickly divert and say, well, he began to look around at the circumstances and the wind was boisterous and he began to sink. But before we go to that, we say, thank you, Peter, for giving us an example to step out of the boat and to believe God, expecting a miracle, expecting God to do something, and taking God at his word. thank the Lord for his word. Many years ago in my hometown, a man joined the Navy. He went, signed up during the World War II era and patrolled the Pacific on a ship for 4 years. They issued him one of those iconic life preservers, a life vest. He wore that every day. He said, I had it beside my bunk where I slept. He said, I relied on that. It was an inner security. When things were uncertain, I would instantly reach for my life vest. When turbulence on the ship, when there was a storm, he said it was something that was my go-to security. But after 4 years, his tour of duty was over. The ship docked on the coast of California. And he and his comrades on their final mission finally docked in a symbolic gesture. This nostalgic, symbolic gesture as they're going down the gangplank. They take off their life vest and throw it into the water. And the irony of it all is it immediately sank to the bottom of the ocean. 4 years clinging to something that he thought was going to rescue him, only to realize, I've been holding on to something that's really not going to help me. How many times do we live our lives with the exact same reliance on things that really probably can't help us? But oh, this morning I came to preach to the United Pentecostal Church in Paris that there is something that you can rely on, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's better than a life preserver. It's better than having airbags in your car or seat belts, which I totally am thankful for. It's better than having a retirement plan, which I know we need. It's better than all of those things that we rely on, because you know in this hour of uncertainty, it's only Jesus Christ who sustains us. It's by his word. It's by his power. Go ahead and clap your hands if you're thankful for your love and your relationship and the spirit of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's it. Let's worship him together this morning. I'm preaching about Christ our Savior. He's the one that sustains us. He's the one that upholds us, and he's the one that keeps us. One of our national heroes was the great President Ronald Reagan. Some of you might have even read about the fact that before he was the president, he, as a teenager, a young adult, was a lifeguard at his local town in Dixon, Illinois, on the Rock River. And he served in the summertime as a lifeguard. And before he became the president of the United States, he was already saving people's lives. It's documented that he rescued 77 people from drowning. And I thought about that for a moment. I mean, just a summer job, probably minimum wage, whatever it was at that time. What a feeling of purpose to save someone's life. Before politics, before national leadership, he was already rescuing people from drowning. There's people in your life that help you all along the way. None of us can make it without each other. God's given you people in your life to help you and sustain you. There's times when I've been drowning and I've felt like I was going under, but a friend took me under the arm and held me up, and a pastor helped me and encouraged me when I thought I was all but given up. But God finds a way. It's not just the Lord. He uses people to help you. How many times has your spouse picked you up when you were on rock bottom and you thought, God, You worked through my spouse to help me and to encourage me. And so I thank God for all the people that have the characteristics and the traits of our Lord who is trying to help and to preserve people and to live. Thank God for teachers. One of the greatest people that I know is my early childhood teachers. They're not in my local church, but when I see them around town, I say, thank you for helping me and teaching me and nourishing me in those young years. And as a teacher, many of you have had to maybe help your students, or some of you as police officers or law enforcement agents, you've had the privilege of rescuing someone. Some of you, my son has been trained in first aid on his job. And how does it feel to rescue someone who is in a dire need and help them? I can tell you that's a good way to make a friend, because they'll never forget you. And thank God for people like that. Thank God for all of you that have served in our armed forces and military, because you have the spirit and the understanding how to help somebody, how to help a nation. And I believe that's the essence of what our Lord is trying to say to the church. I'm the one that can help you in your lowest moment. When you're in the valley, I know how to pick you up. I know how to help you. I know how to save you and rescue you. This morning, you might not have ever really known the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Ghost, but he's here and he's available to you. His arms are stretched out to you, and he's saying, I'm going to help you. After all, what did he do for Peter? Peter was already a disciple serving the Lord, but he found on that day he was sinking in despair. You see, it's not just the first time you get the Holy Ghost and when you get baptized in Jesus' name, although that is a memorable point in your life that you'll never forget. But I've been serving the Lord a long time, and along the way, many times I felt like I'm sinking in worry and anxiety and despair, or I'm sinking in circumstances and hardships and difficulties. And Peter's already serving the Lord, but on this day he's sinking in the waters and the despair of life. And Jesus stretches forth his hand and takes him by the hand and picks him up and pulls him out of the river of despair. You see, the wind was boisterous, and the wind represents all sorts of obstacles in our lives. Matter of fact, the New Testament said it was winds of false doctrine that could often derail people. And so even when there's winds of confusion, when there's winds of adversity, and sicknesses can be obstacles that are coming against you like a driving rain, like a mist in your face, and the wind plummeting all of those circumstances. Somebody here today is dealing with symptoms and sicknesses, and you feel like you're sinking in all of that, but there's the Lord Jesus Christ who can help you through. If he doesn't help you to overcome it, he'll help you through it, praise God. And we serve a God like that, whether it's the winds of adversity, the lies of the enemy, the voice of darkness that is trying to discourage you. We push off all of the circumstances, and we look for the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to help us and to pick us up in our moments of despair. Right before Peter goes under the water, he echoes these notorious words. Now get ready. I know you thought it was a beautiful prayer. I know you thought it was an eloquent prayer that he had written out, and he opened his prayer book. No, Peter, in the moment of despair, gives a powerful prayer. And he said, Lord, save me. I mean, you don't have long when you're going underwater to think of a good long prayer. Lord, save me, are the words that attracted the attention of Jesus. Now, I've been around a long time. I've heard some good prayers, and I've been to, public events where people really, but you know what? When you're in despair and you're desperate, there's no time for a pretty prayer. it's Lord, save me. So this morning, I know you may not know much about even the Bible. You may not even got to read the Bible all the way through. You may not know the difference in Moses and Noah and Abraham, and I've been there before. But you can pray, Lord, save me. And wherever you are, he can help and you can find you. Don't feel like you're not good enough to come to the Lord. Don't feel like you're not smart enough or educated enough. Peter said, Lord, save me. And that was the prayer that touched the heart of our Savior. And that's what's going to help you this morning. I know this is not a repeat after me, but if you could say, Lord, save me, it's going to be enough to get God's attention. And he's going to come and rescue you from your despair. Say, well, I've had the Holy Ghost for 20 years. I just need help financially. You can cry, Lord, save me. He'll make a way for you. Hey, he helps his faithful people. He said he'll open the windows of heaven and he will pour out a blessing greater than you can receive. You could be dealing with family dilemmas and crisis you thought could never be sorted out with 1,000 years of counseling. But if you'll cry this morning, Lord, save me, and you'll bring it to the altar and say, I'm coming to Jesus Christ one more time with my problem. I believe he can sort out the chaos that you've created or that the devil has created around you. He's able. So if you don't remember anything this morning, just remember that prayer. Lord, save me. Because when you pray that with desperation and sincerity, not just lip service, not just repeat after me, but you really mean it. Lord, save me. I've been relying on some other things. I've been depending on this life vest. I've been depending on my bank account, or I've been depending on my doctor, which we appreciate, but God, I just need to know that you're going to be the one that puts all this together and works it out for me. Lord, save me is my prayer. I'm thankful for all that he is. Did you know that we have a multifaceted Savior? You know that Jesus Christ is the God of the Old Testament revealed in flesh, and the angel said he's Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ come to the earth in the form of a man. And I'm thankful to be in a one God church this morning. I'm thankful that you understand and appreciate that relationship. But I'm thankful all through the Bible, he's trying to encourage us what he can do. In Genesis, he was the seed of the woman. Exodus, he was the Passover lamb. Leviticus, he was the high priest. In Numbers, he was the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and our lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our ever reigning king. In Ezra and Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. In Job, he's our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he's our shepherd. In Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. In Song of Solomon, he's the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the prince of peace. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in life's fiery furnaces. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. In Joel, he's the Holy Ghost in fire. In Amos, he's a burden bearer. In Jonah, he's the great missionary. In Micah, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Nahum, he's a messenger with beautiful feet. In Habakkuk, he's the evangelist. In Zephaniah, he's a savior. In Haggai, he's a restoration. In Zechariah, he's the fountain. And in Malachi, he's a son of righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he's a Messiah. In Mark, he's a wonder worker. In Luke, he's a son of man. In John, he's a son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy Ghost in fire. In Romans, he's your justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's your sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the unsearchable riches. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's our soon coming king. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's your faithful pastor.
master. In Philemon, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's the great physician. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he's our chief shepherd. In 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, he is love. And in Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. And finally, in Revelation, he said, I'm Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending, the one that was and is to come. He said, I'm the Almighty God. I'm thankful this morning. Whatever you need in this house, he can be that for you. Come on and clap your hands if you believe this preacher this morning. Come on and clap your hands if you really believe he's all that you need him to be. Just in case you're wondering, he's able. And Ephesians said he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Aren't you thankful for that kind of God? There's a lot of people that can help you. Your mother and dad can help you through a lot. Grandma and grandpa can help you in ways. But there is a moment in life where only the Lord Jesus Christ can help you. I love counselors, and I have family members that are counselors, and I know that many people need counsel, but in Isaiah 9:6, he said he's the counselor. I thank God for the banker. Many times in business, you have to have him, but he's our provision. He's Jehovah Jireh. I thank God for the physician, and I believe in them. And I believe they're doing the work of God even when they don't know it. If they're trying to help and heal people, they're doing the work of God. But I thank God that by his stripes we're healed. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we're healed. I'm thankful for the healing nature of our Lord. This morning, whatever you're dealing with, I'm confident that the Lord knows about it and that he can help you. We thank God that he's able. There are times when people go on to their reward. We don't understand that, but we trust God had some greater plan. But that does not keep us from believing that he's a healer and that he's able to step in and overcome cancer and diabetes and heart disease and arthritis and 1,000 other ailments and sicknesses that I don't even know the names of, but he is able, and I'm thankful that he's a healer. I'm thankful. He said in Exodus, he said, I'm Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. In Isaiah 53, he said, by my stripes you'll be healed, which was echoed in 1 Peter 2:24. I'm thankful that Psalms 103 and 3 said he forgiveth all of our iniquities and he healeth all of our diseases. In Psalms 91, he promised us if we live and dwell in the secret place that no plague can come near our dwelling. I'm thankful, hallelujah, that in Matthew 4:23, it says Jesus Christ went to every city and to every village, healing every sickness and every disease. I'm just trying to put a little faith out there because when I pray, I just want God to have his way. I want you to believe the report of the Lord more than the circumstance, more than the situation. He did it for the woman with the issue of blood. He did it for blind Bartimaeus. He did it for the 10 lepers. He did it for the man with a withered hand. He did it for the two blind men. He did it for all those in the New Testament just to show you that he's able to help you in your time of need. The Bible is a book of miracles. It's not a book of doubt, but it's a book of faith to tell you that he's here to help you. His main theme was, I am your Savior. I'm here to help you. I'm here to deliver you. Your credit at the bank might run out. Your confidence with your family might run out. You may have no more favors left with them, but you call out to God one more time. I'm confident that he has not given up on you. Say, well, Brother Welch, you don't know what I've been through. I've been through all this kind of chaos. I've been to rehab. I've been to court. I've been to legal proceedings. I've I've been locked up before. You know what? God has not given up on you, and he believes in you, and he's going to help you. I'm preaching about a Savior that loves you. He loves you. He's going to help you. Matter of fact, many people come to God when all their other resources have run out. Doesn't have to be that way, but many do. And we thank God that there's always a place to go. And the prodigal son found out, I can go to my father's house. When no one else wants me, my father's house will receive me. He thought he would be despised, but you know what he found? The father waiting with open arms. My son has come home. You know, your grandchildren and your children, there's going to be a time when God quickens their spirit and they're going to walk through these doors. I'm confident of that. And you know what? They're going to find the father waiting with open arms. I don't care if your grandson is in so much darkness right now. He never calls you. I just believe that one day they're going to walk in these doors. They're going to experience what we're all experiencing here today. Do you believe God is going to reach out to our children and our grandchildren? Come on and clap your hands if you still believe the Savior is going to be here waiting on them. He's not giving up on them. He's not writing them off, but he loves them. And for a great part, that's why we're keeping the light on. That's why we're keeping the doors unlocked. That's why we're here, is because when they get ready, they're going to find a Savior who loves them. Aren't you thankful for that? He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a helper in your time of need. He's the one that makes a way. Even his name means Jehovah is salvation, the anointed one. Jesus Christ, hey, I've known a lot of people. I introduced myself today as Brother Welch, but I'm not connected to the people that own the grape juice company. I don't really live up to that side of my name. I've known a lot of Smiths that never have worked as a Smith. I've known a lot of Tanners. I believe I met at least two here this morning. They don't look like the kind of guys who work with leather. I met some people named Wise, and they weren't very wise. They could have been if they wanted to be. I met a guy named Brother Small, but he wasn't all that small. We don't often live up to our names. But the name Jesus Christ means Jehovah is salvation. Christ means the anointed one. I want to promise you this, he always lives up to his name. And when you get back, that's why we get baptized in Jesus' name. You say, well, why don't we use the titles? Well, first of all, there's more than three titles. Matthew 28:19 says there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we obey that, and by obeying Acts 2:38, we fulfill that commission. But first of all, there's more than just three titles. I just gave you many of them, and some people have counted them. There's over 1,000 of them, and I'm not going to go through them all today, but I'll just tell you this. When you get baptized in Jesus' name, it covers them all. It covers them all. Hallelujah. That's why I'm not getting baptized in any other name than the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I want you to baptize me in the titles. We cannot hold you under that long because you'll drown. But when we say that one name, Jesus, hallelujah. You get it all, brother. You get it all, brother. Hallelujah. Come on and clap your hands if you're thankful to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm off my note. Y'all forgive me. I'm having too much fun here. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our faults, confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. 1 Peter 3:9 says, he's not slack concerning his promise. as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering. Somebody say long-suffering. That's one of the attributes of God that people don't often have. Some people's patience will run out with you, but God's patience is enduring. He's long-suffering. We ought to thank God again for that. Oh, hallelujah. In Matthew 8, 21, Peter came to the Lord and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? He said, seven times, and he thought he would get a pat on the back from the Lord. I mean, that's pretty good, seven times. Sometimes we have a hard time with just one. And the Lord raised the bar on him. I mean, that's the way the Lord is. Sometimes he'll raise the bar on you. The day you feel like you're doing all right, he's raising the bar. He said, how about 70 times 7? For some of you mathematicians, 490. If the Lord told Peter you ought to forgive at least 490 times a day, don't you think he's willing to forgive you the second or third or 14th time? But we condemn ourselves and say, he'll never forgive me again. I stumbled, I fumbled, I made a mess, I knew better. And that's true. And this is not a license, God forbid. But it's the grace and the mercy of our Lord extended to us. God forbid we would take advantage of that and say, well, I can do it. No, that's not what he's saying. But he is saying this. When you come to me on number 13 time, number 25, I told Peter he should at least forgive 490 times a day. Don't you think I'm going to do that for you? Don't you think I'm going to do that for you? The enemy often tries to hinder our younger generation and say, you failed God too much. You hadn't lived up to mom and dad. You hadn't lived up to grandma and grandpa. But you know what? You have not even begun to exhaust God's everlasting mercies. Don't you believe the lies of the devil? My wife and I were blessed. After all these years, we had enough time and I guess saved enough to finally take a trip to the tropical Hawaiian island. And while I was there, I kept seeing this plaque around town. And I said, I'm going to look that guy up. He's passed on, but he's obviously a hero among here. And I read about a man by the name of Eddie. In the late 1960s, he was a young man, and the state of Hawaii had realized that many people were now traveling internationally, and they were coming to those tropical islands and coming out there with no experience and jumping in the water with 10 and 20-foot high waves. Getting on a boat with no sailing experience. Jumping in the water trying to learn how to surf. Many people were getting hurt. Some people were drowning. And the state said, we've got to hire the first official lifeguards and put them on duty at all of our primary beaches. Eddie was one of the first men hired. He was a young man. He wasn't that educated, but he could swim really good. He was strong. One article said that you could tie four men behind him on a rope and he could swim with them. He had broad shoulders. I was fascinated when I read about his story because in the 9 years that he served on one of the prominent beaches, it's documented that he rescued over 500 people from drowning. 500 people. I don't know what lifeguards make, but I feel like it's probably not much more than minimum wage. But he went out there every day and rescued people, many times endangering his own life, no doubt. What a picture of the Lord. He picked Peter up out of the water that day, and he wants to help all of us. And as great as all that is, this is what gripped my heart. Just as if my hand were clenching my shirt against my chest when I read this. When I read this article, this part jumped out at me because his brother said, I used to go out there and volunteer and help Eddie. He would always go out just looking to help somebody. But he said, this is what really got to me. Sometimes we would go out there and rescue someone early in the day, pull them up on the bank, them within a hair's breadth of perishing, coughing up water. When they stood up, they thanked us, they hugged us, they celebrated. Thank you for saving my life. And he said more than one time this happened. Later in the day, on the horizon, I would look up and someone would be flailing, waving their hands, screaming out in the water. With binoculars, I would look out there and say, I believe that's the same old boy we rescued this morning. We gave him a lecture. We told him not to get back in the water. We told him to get swimming lessons. We told him to listen to his wife. We told him all kind of stuff. I don't know if it's ignorance. I don't know if it's stubbornness. I don't know if it's human nature. I mean, every time they bring my plate at my favorite Mexican restaurant and they say, don't touch the plate because it's hot. Where's Brother Matt? I don't know. I'm like, it's human nature. And his brother said, Eddie, are you going to go out there and rescue that guy again? Eddie never paused to take a second thought, because hear me, when you have a heart to help people, when you have a heart to love people, you don't second guess, are they worthy of it? You don't say to yourself, I already told them and they know better. Several times in the New Testament it says, God is no respecter of person. When you work on an ambulance and the call comes in, you don't say, what nationality are they? I'm going to decide if I'm going to go over there and help them. If you're a first responder, you don't say, well, how much money do they have? I'm going to decide if I'm going to go help them during their heart attack. If you're in the military, you don't say, am I going to defend this country? Because they deserve it. But you say, that's my job. It's who I am. Eddie, are you going to go rescue them the second and third time on the same day? Lord, could you forgive me if I pray through at an altar and sometime in the afternoon stumble and go back to a bad habit? Or I'm not saying you got license to do that, but I'm saying this. Receive this understanding. He's able to deliver you. He's able to help you. He's our Savior. This morning, there's somebody who came to the house of God and you've been under condemnation. Will the Lord help me again? I don't deserve any financial help from the Lord because this and that. I don't deserve the Lord to heal me of cancer because maybe I did something in my previous life that brought it on. But you know what? Why don't you go ahead? Hey. Say, well, I'm just reaping what I sowed. Hear me. Even a farmer knows if you start sowing something good, even if your field was grown up with thorns and thistles for 20 years, if you plow it under and plant corn, in just a few months you're going to have a harvest. So all of you that the devil's been lying to and saying you're just reaping from your... Hey, if you've been coming here for a month or two or a year or two and worshiping in the altar, you've been faithful financially, you've been praying, you go ahead and expect a harvest. Because you're sowing good seed now and God's going to do it for you. Come on, if you believe God's going to do it for you, why don't you stand up all over this house? Why don't you stand up and lift your hands up to heaven and say, God, I believe you're going to help me one more time. I believe you're going to help me one more time. I want my wife and my son to help me. But before they do, I want to ask you this. Do you have a need? Like Peter, you might have been saved a long time, but you need something else today, and you say, Lord, save me again. Save me from my circumstances. Maybe just for 10 minutes, but I'd like to invite every single person that's here. Don't leave if you don't have to, but just give God 10 minutes and say, we're all coming to the altar today. We need God's help. Come on, everybody, everybody, everybody. Come on and give God 10 minutes at the altar, everybody. And say, God, we need you to help us. Come on, nobody left behind. We need God to help us. We need God to show us one more time. He's able. He's able. He's able. Come on together. Come on and sing it to the Lord now.
Thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. You sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell them.
that's so good. I feel led in the spirit to kind of just pause and change gears, because here's what it is. We're all here together as the church family. We're about to leave and depart, but hear me. There's about 45 or 50 of us. If in our spirits we would have to say, preacher, this week, this month, I'm in a place where I just need God's extra help. I'm dealing with anxiety and fear for financial matters. I'm dealing with sicknesses, and I'm dealing with uncertainties of a job, or I'm dealing with situations in my family. I feel like God's going to do that. I just feel led of the Holy Ghost. Y'all just kind of part the waters right here in the moment, in the middle. If I told you there's about 50 of us that would say, preacher, don't leave. Don't let them turn off the lights. Don't let them lock the doors without one final prayer. Because this prayer may not be pretty. It may not be dignified. But I just got one thing to say. Lord, save me right now. It doesn't matter. Hey, I know most of you got the Holy Ghost. That's not what I'm saying. God, I need you to help me on my job. Save me. I need you to help me. Somebody help me break the ice. I believe there's 50 that would just say, preacher, pray this last prayer and let me pray. Lord, save me. Come on, they're coming. I need about 50. Just make your way over. You may have had the Holy Ghost 100 years. Come on, give me 50 right here who just need a touch of God. My brother that's praying for healing, come over here. Come on, God's on your side. There's some young people that need to get in here. Say, Lord, save me. Sister Welch, I just need you to pray and sing with all of your heart. Come on, we're going to worship. We're going to praise God. Come on now. It's going to break in the Holy Ghost. Something in the Spirit. Come on and cry out with a loud voice. Lord, save me. Help me. Oh, come on and lift up a voice. Lift up a voice. I gotta tell you, it's prayer, it's sacrifice, but finally, it's worship. Hear me. I've seen more people finally receive the answer to their prayer in worship, because we pray about it in our closet. We think about it. But finally, when we get to the altar, we have a chance to praise our way through the trial. Now, the last 2 or 3 minutes here, I've asked Sister Welch, I don't care what you do, but give me a chance to worship God. Give me a chance for radical praise. Give me a moment to break through. I want to tell you, you're within arm's reach of that miracle right now. The Savior is reaching out to you. I'm just asking you to give him 2 minutes of all of your praise. Some of you are at 98%. Go ahead and give God 100% this morning and see if he won't deliver you. Somebody shout with a loud voice. Somebody praise God out loud. Somebody needs to leap for joy. Somebody needs to dance and give God great praise because he is here. He is here. He is here right now. Come on and praise him now. Come on and thank him for it now.
I believe I'll testify God's been good to me.
Testify, God's been good to me. What a great presence of the Lord. Lift your hands and thank him for all he's done. Well, I'm trying to close. The Lord's on me. The Spirit of the Lord's here. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what I'd like us to close by doing? It's just, if you're within, even if you're over there, if it's appropriate, would you just put your arm around somebody and pray with them? I believe there's just a spirit of unity that's trying to work in the Holy Ghost. Sister Welch, it doesn't matter what level, but just find me something a moment. We're going to pray just for the unity of the Spirit to work in this house. God, let the Holy Ghost operate in the spirit of unity among this great church family. Come on, nobody praising God alone, but together with a brother, a sister, or somebody, a family member. Somebody lift up, come on, a prayer of intercession. Father, we believe for direction and anointing, God, and empowerment, God, for this people, God. You know what they need. You know, God, the direction we should go. Come on and pray out loud if you believe. There's a working in the Spirit now. Come on, let the Holy Ghost. Somebody pray out loud. Somebody pray like it's been a long time, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes. Somebody pray in the Spirit like you know how. Somebody pray in the Spirit like you know how. There, you know, there's a difference in most churches and finally those Spirit-led churches. There's a level in the Holy Ghost God just challenged us to. I'm not going to keep you long, so don't be worried. But I wonder if you as a church, with all that you have been taught and know to do in the Spirit, could prevail in the Spirit. There's two or three that are prevailing, but I wonder if all of us together in this final moment of just 30 seconds or 40, could we prevail in the Spirit the way you know how to pray in the Holy Ghost? Stay right there on that song. The anointing of the Lord is here. Somebody help me prevail in the Spirit against all spiritual adversities, against all the attacks of Satan. Come on and pray in the Spirit now. Somebody pray like you know how. That's what's going to set this church apart from every other church. Come on and touch heaven. Come on and touch heaven. Going to dismiss. Just say one more prayer for somebody. We're not going to dismiss. Just let the Lord have His way. Thank you. Brother Dickey said we start at 6 tonight. We're going to expect God, but there's people praying. And I just, if somebody needs an extra moment, you're welcome to stay. But if you need to go, we're just, lift those hands one final time and say, Lord, thank you for the unity. Thank you for the spirit we feel. Thank you for the love. God, thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke. In the name of Jesus. Keep praying if you're praying. Be here at 6 o'clock. We're going to just love God together. 5:30 for prayer meeting. Thank you.